the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, welcome to episode 97 of the Golf Podcast. So tonight, we're going to talk about a very simple, very inexpensive, and very effective little training aid that you can use to really improve your ball striking. So we'll dive into that in a little while. And it's always great when you see these really simple things that are not expensive, because Mike, so much stuff out there. I mean, it's great. Everything has its merits, but we see all these like Bluetooth swing analyzers and everything, and they can get expensive. And I can think that could be a little bit discouraging to people who are, you know, not wanting to throw their whole bank account at their golf game. So something like this, something that we're going to talk about, is going to show you how you can kind of do that. It's like a fundamentals, old school way of training, but it can be really effective. And, you know, there's no technology to this, but you know what? Sometimes the way they used to do it is, in a lot of ways, can be the right way. So we're going to talk about that. That's going to be something that's going to be very exciting. Before we dive into it, I want to remind everyone, we haven't talked about this in a couple weeks, but if you haven't had a chance to yet, definitely take our listener survey. You can get to that by going to podsurvey.com/golf. That's podsurvey.com/golf. Takes 5 minutes. Take our survey. As most of you know, our advertisers are kind of the lifeblood that helps keep us going. You know, they support the show, and this is a good way for us to kind of give them an idea about who our listeners are, and they can tailor the sponsorships a little bit more directly for stuff that you guys actually do want to hear about. So go ahead and do that. Just go to podsurvey.com/golf. And what's really cool right now, you can automatically enter. It's 100% anonymous. You know, they're not, we don't know who submits the survey, so you can be upfront, honest, whatever you want to do. But after you take your survey, you can then enter for a free chance to win $100 Amazon gift card. Mike, it's the holidays right now, right? Who wouldn't want $100 extra bucks to spend on Amazon?
Of course. Of course. Speaking of that, happy holidays, man.
Yeah, I know, right? This podcast, I guess we're recording it the week before Christmas here. This comes out on Sunday. It's going to be before we know it. I mean, one big thing that I've been checking out on Golficity, and I know a lot of people have been commenting on social and stuff like that, has been our holiday gift guide. We really got really detailed this year, tried to get a little bit of something for every price point.
Yeah, I bought a lot of golf gifts for people. And you know, the guide is helpful. I mean, I love looking at the these types of deals, because it's amazing. I bought golf shoes. I bought the golf shoes that I have, Frank, that I bought at the beginning of this year for $100. Yeah. I got them on Rock Bottom Golf for my father for $49.99.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they're awesome. I love those spikeless FootJoys. So, you know, looking forward to that. What's up with this 70-degree weather in New Jersey?
I know. It's crazy. And here's a really crazy thing. I went to the beach last weekend.
That's awesome. It was an awesome weekend for it.
I know. It's December, you know, mid-December. So much bonus golf going on right now. I mean, people are loving it. It was really funny. Over here at the club where I normally play, they started cutting in the temporary greens. Mm-hmm. And then they just had to let them grow back over, because the guys, you know, in the club were saying, don't shut down our regular greens yet. You know, we got extra season here. Keep it going. So
yeah, seriously.
It's really cool when you get those extra month or two of golf that you know, weren't expecting, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but Christmas Day, they're calling for 70 degrees, sunny and warm. So for all you brave souls who could sneak out.
right. Yeah. You got the day off. Everybody does, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. I told a buddy at work today, he goes, I'm thinking about just putting in 9. I said, hey, listen, if you can get back to the tree before the kids wake up, I think you'll be okay.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Right. Sneak out there, especially, or if you don't celebrate Christmas, man.
Yeah.
Forget the movie theater.
Yeah, even more so.
Go out there and hit the course. But yeah, there's so many great things. End of the year, there's so many great deals to be had. That's the other thing. Like you said, everybody's kind of closing out last year's models, so to speak. So whether it be clubs, gear, apparel, so much stuff out there. You know, we've been talking about that a little bit on our the deals that we publish every once in a while on Golficity. So there's so much stuff going on. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Other than that, before we get into our topic tonight, the other thing I want to mention, we talked a little bit about this last episode, but our first episode of the new year, we're going to have our New Year's resolutions that we're going to cover. Like I said, we want to talk about goals, goal setting. We talked about how much that has gotten us to where we are now as far as with our game and how important it could be to set these small goals that'll lead to those bigger, you know, goals and things that you want to accomplish with your game. So like we said, we've been getting a couple of them. We want to encourage you guys, keep those coming. Email us at podcast@golfvicity.com. Let us know just one or two of your main goals for 2016 with your golf game, whatever it may be. It could be something as broad as saying, I want to, you know, get rid of my slice, to just saying, I want to, you know, fix my putting within 5 feet, whatever it is. And we're going to use those. We're going to talk about them on the show. We're going to lay out that as a nice outline of some of the things that we're going to cover in the upcoming year in 2016. You know, we had a lot of great guests in 2015, a lot of big names, a lot of very, you know, intelligent people in the golf community giving us these great tips. And we're going to use that to kind of use those as questions that we're going to ask our guests and things like that. And if you want to take it one step further, one really cool thing you can do is just use your smartphone or, you know, most on at least on the iPhones, I know there's a voice recorder. Just record your goal. There's, you know, try to keep it to a minute or less. Record it and email us the file. Email us the sound file. I think it's very easy to do on the iPhone and probably the same with Android. Email us at podcast@golfvicity.com and we'll take it one step further and we'll actually, you know, play you on the show and respond to it that way. So a lot of good stuff, Mike. I've been making my list. How about you?
Yeah, I have my list. I got a great list. I'm excited to talk about it. And who knows, maybe I can even get some feedback from listeners on how to fix these things. And looking forward to that.
Right. Well, it's a long year. You know, a lot of episodes. Yeah. We've got a lot of stuff that we can pack in there. And that I'm really looking forward to. I'm already getting the itch. Like I said, we're playing. It's not as much. It's a little bit limited. But I can't wait to get back out there and start working on some things with my game and building upon what I improved on last year. So definitely keep those coming. Other than that, I want to thank everybody again for the iTunes reviews as those come in. Mm-hmm. Those are really important. Last week, we did a nice giveaway. We still have some time if you want to enter that. We are giving away a gift pack by the guys over at Mike. Heat Factory. That's right. They do the hand warmers and stuff like that and some gloves that they're giving away. So if you want to know the details of that, just go back and listen to last episode, episode 96. You can find out how you can enter for a chance to win that. And as of us recording it right now, we still have a few extra gift packs to give away. So there's still time. So if you hear about it, you know, go ahead and send them in and you may be able to get that in time.
So, Frank, before we dive into it, I just had to give a quick shout out to our buddies over at GottaGolf.com or the app GottaGolf. Have you ever used this thing? I know you're familiar with it.
Yes, absolutely. I just downloaded it from my phone and I actually checked them out on the web. It's pretty cool on the web too.
Yeah, it is cool. And it's kind of like the best thing to compare it to is like Facebook for golfers. And our friends over there who are running the show, I mean, I've had so many conversations with them. I love what they're trying to achieve. They got cool contests. I'm only saying this to just because it's a cool golf feature. And if you love golf as much as we do, you're going to love this. They give away cool things. They were giving away a Scotty Cameron putter. They did this whole trip to Pebble Beach to play with Paige Spiranak, and some lucky fan won it. And I heard all about how fun it was out there and what a great day they had. They're giving away golf balls. I mean, Frank, I put in my address. This is cool. And it tells you all the people in the area that play golf. And it'll say like, you'll say like Jim lives in my town. And some of the guys, I'm like, hey, I know this guy. So, you know, and some of them belong at country clubs that I've always wanted to play, like my bucket list course around here, like Ridgewood Country Club. So I'm thinking about, you know, friending them and maybe getting out there. And who knows, it's a whole community. So I don't know. If you're into that stuff, check it out. It's pretty cool.
I loved it. I did the same thing, and I just kind of like did that around me feature. Yeah. It's really cool because guys will just set up games and like, you know, when they're going to play. And especially if you're a single, you know, just going out there and playing by yourself and just pairing up wherever, this is a great way to just kind of get out there with some new people and whatever it may be. But the other thing I like about it too is I was just kind of poking around on there. And like sometimes as golfers, we like to share like what's going on. Like if we like, whatever, shoot a good round. You know, sometimes you, like you said, you post on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and it kind of gets lost in the mix. You know, some of your friends maybe who don't play golf are like, oh, that's great, man, but they don't really know what it, you know, signifies. Right. The cool thing about this is that it's actually a community of just golfers. So like they're where you are, you know, they're sharing their games and like everybody's kind of like, it's really cool. It's, you know, in that way just to get to interact with like-minded people and kind of get rid of all that other clutter. You don't have to like sort through 1,000 BuzzFeed articles just to see what your buddies are doing, you know?
Exactly.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I actually just checked that out this week and I really like it. And actually just, you know, getting some Golficity stuff involved on there as well. So
sure.
Cool. All right. So Mike, let's jump right into tonight's topic. Because I think this is going to be a really good one. I think this is an important one. On the surface, it sounds a little bit like, you know, simple, But that's what I like about it. I like the simplicity of this training aid. And what we're going to talk about is using impact tape to improve your ball striking. So here's the thing. You may have heard about impact tape. You may have tried it. You may not. I know a lot of club fitters are using it now. I actually used it when I was fitted for my new Ping irons about 2 years ago. It's a very simple thing. What it is, it's tape. It doesn't damage your club at all. It just, you use it once, you take it off, and then, it's kind of like you throw another one on there. But it's actually tape that you put on the face of the club. And what it does is it's got some sort of ink somehow in it that responds to impact. So when you hit the ball, it'll actually make an impression on this tape. The cool thing about it, maybe before you've hit a ball before and it makes a little bit of mark where you can kind of see where maybe the paint from the lettering on the ball or something is left over, and you can kind of see where you made contact, but it's hard to see. This makes it very clear. You could see very clearly where the ball strike was. And this is really good because using this in a practice session, now this is not meant obviously to be used in a round of golf, but using it in a practice session, you can start to get an idea of a lot of physical feedback about your game. Like, where are you hitting it? Are you hitting it too much on the toe, on the heel, hitting it a little bit too high, a little bit too low? And even the pros will use this, from time to time, and we'll see them just working on getting that sweet spot contact, because that's really where the physics come in of a good shot, making that sweet spot contact. So, again, very inexpensive. We'll put a link to it where you can get it. I found it, the cheapest I found it, Mike. I know you could pick it up at pretty much any golf, store. Some pro shops will have it too. I found it on Amazon, very cheap. Let me just check. The prices are always changing on there.
Can't
you
be
get
more
a
than
huge,
10 bucks, right?
Massive roll for $24. This will last you a whole season worth of training, and it's free shipping. So that's where I found it cheapest. But again, very inexpensive and really, really effective tool. Have you used it at all?
I used it, but only during the time that I was fitted for clubs inside the golf store. So I think for two reasons. I think the pro who was fitting me wanted to see my impact.
Okay.
But I also think even more so, he took the clubs right off the rack. So I think he just didn't want to scuff up the club. So, because everything he needed to know about my fitting was coming up on the simulator stats. So I think it was more so not to screw up the club. But I've never actually used it for this reason, for training. Never even thought about practicing impact. I sometimes glance down at the driver head to see where the ball mark is, mm-hmm. if I slice or if I hook. And then, it's easily noticeable because, we all get in the habit of cleaning the shaft after we're done. The club head.
Yeah.
So we know if we see a fresh ball mark there, that's what I kind of go off of. But as far as training purposes, no, I haven't actually gone out and bought it to train with.
Well, that's what's so cool is, like I said, it's really going to show you that impact point. And when you talk about ball striking, we've talked about that before on a couple different episodes, hitting draws, hitting fades. And I know that's something I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of when we talk about those, goals for 2016. A lot of people say they want to work on that ball striking because it can be so important when you talk about really attacking the game. It could be used in two ways. One is if you want to specifically work on a type of ball striking, like it may be, your fades, draws, or whatever. Or on the other side of it, just trying to correct a problem. So let's talk a little bit about some of those problems and some of the things that you can use to fix it and how impact tape is going to help you identify it. One major thing that we see, many, many amateur golfers, when they first start using impact tape, what they'll notice is that they're consistently striking the ball out towards the toe of the club. Mm-hmm. And that's a very common problem. Excuse me. And what that usually will show, and most of the time, especially with amateur golfers, what you're going to see is that that is a result from an over-the-top move, okay? And that's something that we see in common, a common thing anyway, but you may not even be realizing that you're coming over the top until you use a tool like this that kind of shows it. So if you get out there, you start using the impact tape and you're noticing a lot of a cluster of ball strikes that are out towards the toe, this is something to look for. And Mike, I've seen so many different drills that you can use to try to eliminate that over the top move. One thing I would suggest, just take a quick look on YouTube, just YouTube search like over the top or whatever. But we also put a bunch of them on the article, which I'll link to in the show notes. One of my favorites that I've seen was using an alignment stick where you'll actually stick that alignment stick in the ground behind you. And with a good swing, you're going to come down behind that alignment stick. If you're coming down over it or making contact with that alignment stick, you know that you're coming down, you know, over the top. And that's going to be something that helps you stop it. Now, I can't describe it too much this way. That's why we'll link to the video so you can see it. But there's another really great one that I just came across. It's not in the article. I just saw this the other day and I really enjoyed it. What they said was, as a drill, bring the club back, right? So you get to the top of your swing. And right that very quick moment when you start your downswing, when you start to bring that club back down, they said just let go of the club and let it fall, okay? If you're coming away properly, the club is going to fall behind you and will not make contact with you. If you were to let the club go and it lands, you know, hits you in the back of the neck or, you know, in the shoulder or something like that, it means that you're coming back over the top too much. So that's a really cool physical feedback. And I saw this guy on YouTube doing this and I was very impressed with it. What he was saying is he was just coming back. And then as he goes to swing, dropping the club, and then you just keep doing it. So you get this muscle memory of that first initial move. I mean, it's a very small move. I'm only talking about that moment of transition from the stop to going again. And right when he started to bring the club back down, he would drop it. And then he would get that feel. And then he'd pick the club up and then one swing without dropping it and swing through and make contact. And he'd have that feel because it forces you to come down properly rather than coming up and over the top. So that's a really cool one. And I love that drill. So that's something you can do. But again, coming back to the most important part here is the tool that we're using, the impact tape, is actually helping you identify it. Once you identify what's going wrong, that's half the battle. You can look for, like I said, there's so many drills and different ways you can correct the problem, but you got to identify it first. That makes sense?
Yeah, I was just about to say that because that's kind of, you know, essentially the impact tape, you're just determining where you're making impact. Now you got to figure out how to fix it.
That's right.
You know, so you nailed it. I was just going to actually argue the impact tape saying with you, but you kind of brought it up. I guess it would be my bone to pick, Frank. Okay, great. I'm hitting it off the toe, but now what?
Right. So, but at least you know. At least you're going in a direction now. A lot of people won't actually feel that they're coming over the top. You know, we could see it with ball flight to a certain extent, and obviously pros or teaching professionals are going to pick that out in an instant, but the average amateur golfer may not. They may be thinking, what am I doing wrong here?
That's true.
What this helps to identify.
But what's great about it, though, is there certain things that you and I probably, I guess, can't figure out why we're doing. Let me give you an example. You chunk the ball 8 times out of 10 when you're 30 yards off the green. Uh-huh. And you must say to yourself, why am I doing that? And you never really know.
Right.
But at least this way, with impact tape, I guess now you can, you know, now you know why you're hitting slices or hooking the ball. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say is I wish there were more drills to tell you what you're doing wrong in certain things.
Right.
Or certain aids. And maybe there are. Maybe there is an aid out there that'll show me why I'm chunking the ball and things like that. So I guess I'll start here with impact tape and then, you know, move on from there.
Well, it's a good thing you brought up because that's the other thing I want to talk about. Thin contact, you know, like I said, chunking the ball. Mm-hmm. That is one of the other big things to see. So for instance, we talk about how impact tape might show more towards the toe or towards the heel, and that's going to identify different problems with your swing. But the other thing it can show is, are you hitting too low or too high on the club face? Okay.
All right, here we go.
So here's another big thing. So it's pretty rare. Let's just say this right off the bat. It's pretty rare to hit the ball too high off the club face, unless you're hitting it off a tee. You know, most people won't do that. And if they are, they're hitting it on a weird upswing or whatever. It's certainly possible. But what you may notice, you know, and if you do see that, if you do find that too many of your shots are, you know, you're hitting them too high, they're actually usually going up in the air. They lack backswing, spin, and that's a problem. But when you're talking about thin contact, that's usually going to end up being a result of hitting too low. You're going to see too low on that club face, right? So the club face is actually making contact too high on the ball. So think of it that way.
Let me stop you there for a sec, because when you say hitting too thin, I think thin, I'm sculling the ball. Hitting too thick, I'm chunking it. So
okay.
So explain like to saying, me a little bit.
But this is what I'm going to say about them being kind of similar. When you say chunking it, a lot of times that means you've hit the ground behind it, behind the ball.
Got it.
Right?
And,
okay. And thin also being where you're hitting, making contact with the ball without the ground and too high up on the ball.
Got it.
But
okay.
Both of them have a very similar cause most of the time. Now, everything can be different, but there's also usually a very similar cause, and that's poor balance. Okay? So let's take you chunking the shot, for example.
Okay.
There's a very, very good chance that you're leaving too much weight on your back foot. You're a righty, so it'll be on your right foot. If you're doing that, you're usually coming down and making impact, you know, further back behind the ball, because you're leaving your weight behind. Rather than if you shift that weight properly to your left foot, to your leading foot and through, you'll lag the club a little bit longer and it'll take longer before you make impact.
So will the impact tape help me there? And
the
if
impact
so,
tape might help identify that. It's not going to help fix it like we talked about.
So there you go. Tell me how it would help me help identify it. What would the impact tape look like?
In a similar
Ball's
situation.
Too high or too low?
In your situation, if you're hitting way behind it, it's tough to say because it depends on how that club bounces, because you're making contact with the ground. If the club bounces, there's still a very good chance it bounces up too high and there's a low impact on the club. Make sense?
Got it.
It's still going to look very similarly. Same thing with this. If you just hit it purely thin and you're just not getting down to the ball, as some people say, and just hitting it that way, you're going to see on your impact tape a lot of marks that are very low on the club. Okay. So again, what it usually comes down to is that you're not keeping that weight properly balanced. So what you want to do is you want to keep your weight nicely balanced through your backswing before making contact. And then on your downswing, you move your body through that shot. You want to, instead of, like we see a lot of guys getting stuck on their back foot, meaning their weight never shifts, it's commonly called hanging back. If you ever hear somebody saying you're hanging back too much, that's what can lead to that low strike. That can also lead to striking behind the ball and the club bouncing up. So you want to make sure that you're shifting that weight. Now, I don't want to dive too much into that and the specifics of it, because we are going to be talking about in a couple episodes from now. We've got an article coming out on Golficity shortly about how to move your divot forward. Everybody talks about how the pros hit the ball first and then the ground versus the other way being where if you hit the ground first and you lose all that club head speed, a lot of that has to do with people leaving their weight behind. You're leaving it back on your back foot rather than shifting through. All right. And it happens too, like you say, like in a wedge shot or something like that, a short 30-yard shot, because what's happening is a lot of times we're unconsciously trying to lift the ball in the air. And when you do that, when you try to lift the ball in the air, not only do you sometimes pick the club up too much, but you tend to make this scooping action with your body that leaves your right foot. You're leaving your weight back there. The opposite of what you actually want is you want your weight to shift still through. Even though it's a shorter shot, you want to compress that ball down. So you're shifting your weight to your left, for a righty, shifting your ball to the left and then compressing that down. What that does, instead of scooping it, I mean, that's that natural idea saying, I want the ball to go in the air, so I'm going to kind of scoop it up. That's not how the physics of the game works. What you want is when you compress down, that ball will actually roll up the club face. And that's the whole design of the club face, the loft. And that's what's going to give you your height. That's what's going to give you your backspin.
Right.
Versus just trying to scoop it where you're not going to have backspin and you're going to end up chunking it or hitting behind the ball.
And the reason I brought this up is because, listen, we're using this impact tape on the range only. We're not using it out on the course, most likely.
Right.
So most of us are hitting off artificial turf ranges. So you're not really chunking. I mean, you could be hitting behind it and hitting a ball fat, but you're not actually taking any dirt up. So that's why I asked, what would the impact tape look like? So how would I know that I'm chunking on the range on artificial turf?
My best guess would be, even if it was on artificial turf, don't forget, artificial turf at the range is has a lot of bounce to it.
Right.
So when I see in my own experience, when it happens to me, if I hit behind it, that club face makes impact with the ground because it's made of like a rubbery substance. It bounces up and then I end up hitting what would be considered low on the club face.
Got it.
That's why I don't get height out of the ball. If you notice, most times when you chunk it, you don't get a lot of height. You always lose distance. We know that. And that's because of the fact that you've made contact with the ground, it's slowed down your club head speed. But most times when you chunk it, it's also low. And that's because it'll usually bounce up and you hit higher up on the ball and you don't get that trajectory. So that's where I would say. I would say if you're chunking it in that way, or if you're just hitting it thin where you're missing the ground altogether, but you're only hitting, you know, the top of the ball, you're going to see that low impact. And that's going to tell you, usually, most of the time, that's going to say that it's a balance problem. It's a weight shift problem. You're not properly shifting your weight. And there are some great training aids out there that can help you with weight shift. I've seen people do something as simple as just putting an alignment stick underneath their right foot and just making sure that they feel themselves pushing off of it. There's ones that are even a little bit more sophisticated. I think Skills, S-K-L-Z, they make a training aid that it's very simple in its design, but it works. It's a little wedge that goes on your right foot and you actually click it down. It's got a spring. You click it down before you swing. And the idea being is you want to hear it click back up as you move through. Like it just got a little spring in it, a little wedge. Simple, right?
Yeah.
It just gives you that feedback knowing that you've shifted your weight off that foot. And if you don't, you're stuck back on your foot. You never click it, you know, you never click that off. So that's just a simple feedback. But again, so many ways to fix it. But first, it's identifying the problem using the impact tape itself.
Right. I mean, I'm laughing over here because I'm thinking to myself, how big is the golf training aid market? There's something for everything, right?
Yeah. Forget about it. It's huge. But here's something that we're talking about. This is a training aid technically, but it's as old as the game is, basically. For as long as the game's been around, guys have been putting stuff on the club face so they can kind of see where they're hitting it. Because we know really good ball striking is going to be center contact, and that's what you want to work towards. So these are things I identified. And even if, let's say you're having a little bit of trouble identifying what it means, like you said, Mike. So like, for instance, like, okay, I see the cluster is out towards the toe or the heel, but what does that mean? This is very important feedback that you can give to a pro if you work with one.
Right.
We've talked about the merits of working with a golf coach so many times, but they can only kind of work with what they know. So being an educated student, so to speak, you can really help move yourself along much quicker. So if you were to go to a pro and instead of saying, just fix my swing, I don't know what's going wrong. You could say, you know, I've been practicing with impact tape. I'm noticing a lot of my impacts are out close to the toe. What does that mean?
That's
what
a solid point.
You know, and that could help. And not to mention just online, the different communities and different things like that. You know, you could kind of share that and other guys may say, well, I had a similar problem. This is what I did.
And I think you will get a lot more out of your very expensive golf lessons if you go in with a game plan, right?
Absolutely. So. You know, and this can really help in that way. But there is a more devious side of this. There's something that we need to make sure we talk about because I want people to avoid. There's a slippery slope with impact tape because it's so cheap, because it's so easy to use. One of the dangers that we see is that people can become a little bit too obsessed with it and trying to always strike that ball perfectly in the middle of the face. Do you want to strike the sweet spot as much as possible? Yes. But should you worry about it so much that the rest of your game starts to fall apart? Certainly not. We've talked before many times to a lot of the pros on this show, Kyle Alderink being one of them. I remember it sticks out in my mind where he talks about sometimes we get too mechanical. Right? You know, the mechanics of the swing are so very important, but he says there's also learning to play the game, feel the game, that type of thing. So I would caution you to, you know, not stock up on 100 rolls of impact tape and use them with every session, because I think their place is to be used sporadically with, a session every once in a while. You know, maybe you outline like, one session a month is going to be an impact tape session, practice session. But don't go too far where you're always relying on using it. Because if you obsess too much about it, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to help you play better golf. It's just not. You're going to end up just focusing on just that one point and forgetting, you know, everything else. And like I said, too much mechanics, it's a slippery slope. It can get to a point where you can kind of lose your feel for the game, so to speak. You
know, right. That makes perfect sense, because anytime we try to focus on one thing more than the other, we always end up, you know, screwing it up, you know, and that's when you always say, oh, just go back to the basics. Just go back to the basics.
Right.
But you know what's funny, Frank? I also heard that, now this is just a little side note, that you can actually spray Dr. Scholl's on the club face and it'll act the same way.
I guess I could see that.
You know, I mean, if it's like if you belong to a country club or something and you got Dr. Scholl's in your locker or something,
right.
I don't know, give it a try and let me know what it, you know, I read it that you just spray the club face if you don't have the tape, but obviously the tape is cheap enough. But
yeah, it is. And that is a great like little hack on how to do it. But the other thing that's a benefit of the tape is that you can also save it afterwards. I've seen a lot of guys will peel it off, right, like the date of the session. Or write what they're working on the back or something. And then they'll kind of be able to remember, here's what I was working on, here's what I was doing. So
let me ask you a question, Frank, because is this the only way? Is there any electronic techie gadgets that can do this? Or is it just this impact tape is the only way you can identify where you're striking the ball? This Arcos doesn't do it. iSwing, Swing Tip, whatever. They don't do it.
None of those do it. None of like the wearables that I've seen. The closest I've seen to this is the very expensive golf simulators, like the ones that you and I go and play every once in a while. Because they're reading the ball, you know, with such high speed cameras and stuff like that, sometimes, as Mike, you've seen it before, where you hit the range and right afterwards it'll say where your ball strike was.
Mm-hmm.
But
not as accurate as the tape.
At the end of the day, they're still kind of estimating it. They're estimating, they know where the ball is on a fixed position before you hit it. And they know where your club face should be and the relative size of your club face. And it's trying to calculate it based on that, but nothing as accurate as a physical impact mark.
Of course. Okay.
So that's where, you know, again, it's the cheapest and most efficient solution to the problem.
Sure.
But that's the thing. Like I said, I don't want people to get too hyper-focused on it and using it constantly, because there's also that where you could get a little bit too with your fine motor skills trying to take over and steering the club to make the perfect impact, when in reality, you should be focusing on your whole swing holistically. And then if the swing works, the impact will follow. So again, use it to identify problems, but don't abuse it. Don't overuse it. You'll end up just frustrated and you may set yourself back in ways you don't intend to.
Right.
So again, it's something worth trying. If you haven't tried it out, it's probably the cheapest and easiest thing that you're going to try without, you know, win, lose, or draw, whatever happens. You know, you're not going to be a big financial investment. Like I said, you can order them online, Amazon, and there's a lot of other places. But we'll link to that in the show notes. You can get to that by going to golficity.com/episode97. And even if you only learn one or two things from using impact tape, it's still worth the time and money. I've seen a lot of players have trouble like finding direction with their practice session. So this could be a good way to have a focused direction with your practice session. And like I said, I really like it. I know I'm going to give it a shot a couple times, in the coming year, and I could see it being a beneficial thing. I almost wish they would have it for as crazy as this sounds, but that's not enough force to make an impact. I would almost love it for a putter.
Yeah.
You know, because we talk about how important, and we have other physical feedback we can use, as simple as even putting rubber bands on your putter. Mm-hmm. But sweet spot contact on the putter is so important to putting a good roll on it. You know, I almost wouldn't mind having this on there.
I mean, it wouldn't pick up the impact, of course, but no. I'm sure, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey,
but
maybe the Dr. Scholl's technique would work for that. Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if that ping iPhone cradle app would do it, but
I think that's more of a tempo thing than anything.
Yeah, is it just straight tempo?
Okay. I think so. Yeah. So, all right. So that's everything we have on that. Before we wrap it up, again, I just want to remind you guys of a couple quick things. Definitely take a moment to take our survey. Go to podsurvey.com/golf. Just tell, you know, again, completely anonymous. We don't know who's submitting them, so you could be honest with them. But at the very end, you can then register after you've taken it and everything's been registered. You can register for a win a $100 Amazon gift card. And I think we do a drawing on that once a month. So definitely check that out. The other thing is keep those New Year's resolutions coming. Email us at podcast@golficity.com. You can also email us, as I said, a quick sound file of yourself talking about it. We'd love to play those on the show that we have coming up. Next week, Mike, no show. We're taking a much deserved break for the Christmas holiday. And as you said, maybe even sneaking out there and playing a round of golf that weekend. That would be really nice.
Yeah, I doubt it, but I'll have to sell that one pretty well.
So much family stuff that week. I don't think sneaking away is going to be a very easy thing to do.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But so definitely check that out. And as always, leave us those reviews on iTunes. It only takes a second. You can do it from your iPhone, your iPad, however you access the show. You can do it from your computer even. Just let us know, you know, what you think about the show. We've seen so many great 5-star reviews. And, you know, that's really the way we spread the news about the show, how we get new listeners and how new people are exposed to the show. So if you take a moment to do that, we really appreciate it. And we like to read those on the show. We like to hear about how people are progressing and some of the stuff that they're getting out of listening to the show. So definitely check that out. All right, Mike, before we wrap it up and take our 2-week break, do you have anything else you want to add?
Let me just tell you, I'm so stoked for the holidays because my entire wish list was just gift cards to the PGA Superstore from everyone. Nice. So I'm going to compile them all, and this guy is getting new clubs in 2016. I can't wait to get fitted. It's been 5 years with the TaylorMades.
Wow, has it already?
Yeah. And hey, listen, they've been great. but I kind of think that they're not right for my current game. I think, you know, I've gotten stronger. I'm hitting the ball. Mechanics are much better. I think it's time to reassess my golf swing and say, hey, Mike, you know what? You should be hitting that 7-iron 185, and you should have this maybe a forged or not, or, you know, a Nike, or I'm sorry, or a, what was I going to say, steel shaft versus this, that, and the other. So, you know, I'm going to go for it. And hey, listen, price isn't going to be an option. I'm going all out because I want these
gift cards. You'd be loaded up.
I know. So, and I'm going to trade in the old set, so I'll get a nice credit. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not going to really cost as much as I think it will be, but I'm looking forward to it, and I want it to last for the next 5 years. So
that's such a cool thing, you know, to bring up, because so many people don't even realize that they've outgrown their equipment.
Right.
You know, and especially somebody who's like in your or my boat where we're actively always working on our game. I mean, 5 years is a lot of time to go by. I'm sure a lot has changed. So that's awesome. Do you have anything in mind, or are you just going to kind of go in there with an open mind and just get fitted for whatever they think might work?
I'm going to do exactly what they did last time. I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to give them my, I'm going to give them my price range.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell them what I play now and what I'm kind of looking for. And I'm going to say, you bring over whatever you think will work for me, and let me just keep hitting them. And they'll, you know them, they let you hit all day because they want you to buy the clubs. So, I'm just going to have them do their magic and tell me what's the best for my game.
Yeah. And I like too. It's really not, you would never go into a car dealership and tell them this is my price range and just
exactly
because it's so like, you know, they're gonna take you, right? But
of course,
it's never like that with this, and that's what I really like about it, because most times the incentives are not the same. The guys doing the fittings, they're usually not making any type of significant commission on one versus the other. You know, they just want you to buy clubs there, and they offer them all. So you can be honest. You can do that. You can walk in and say, let me know what you suggest. And you can usually get a pretty darn honest opinion. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, it's funny you brought that up, because when I got the TaylorMades, the club that I was hitting comparable was a $300 more expensive set. And the guy came back and said, hey, listen, you're hitting the TaylorMades just as well. Just go with these, you know? So, I appreciated that.
That tells you right there that they're being upfront and honest with you, but that's cool. And I think you'll get a real benefit. We talked about before about getting fitted for clubs, the difference that it makes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like night and day. Even as it relates even just to what we're talking about here with the impact tape, when they fit you for clubs, they can change the pitch angle, you know, from the heel to the toe of how it rests on the ground, because everybody's angle of attack is a little bit different. The way your arms fall, your height, you know, your stance, everybody's a little bit different. And they can actually adjust the club a little bit that can hone in a little, and it'll make it a little bit easier. Don't forget, you know, if you're swinging a club that's not fitted to you, it's going to be even harder to hit that sweet spot. So just starting with that baseline can really help.
Right. And so take a guess at what I'm most fearful of.
That you're gonna hate your new clubs.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm gonna be like, oh, where are the TaylorMades?
That's man. There's always an adjustment period, but all I can say is stick with it. It's just because it's different. You know, think about it. If you're playing with clubs that were not fitted to you for so long, and there might be little adjustments you've made in your swing to make it work, when all of a sudden you have something that's fitted, it takes some time, and you got to just learn to trust it. You know, that's the other thing, without a doubt.
Yeah, because I have a feeling that they're going to give me the even stiffer shafts. I haven't been playing the most stiff steel. I've been playing one notch below. And when I got – I was bored one day. I was in the store. I said, hey, let me try out a couple of irons. And the guy said, you need to be playing the heaviest because my swing speed is fast and I'm hooking the ball too much. He said, you know, if you got a heavier club, you're not really going to whip through the ball that fast. So, you know, I have a feeling I'm going to be swinging a heavier club in 2016. And I'm hoping that everything works out. So we'll see.
Well, don't worry about getting in your head too much, because stiffer doesn't necessarily mean heavier. You know what I mean?
True.
Obviously, there's a little bit more steel there, but it's not something you can necessarily feel. It's just stiffer. But if nothing else, that's usually something that they can calculate pretty easily, because they know once they know your swing speed, they know what fits. But my biggest tip for you, because I did it when I went through it, at the end of the day, no matter what they say, no matter whatever, let them give you their full assessment, but then go with what feels right. Because I did the same thing, and it's really cool. When they fitted me for the ping irons, they could just snap a new shaft into the head like that, like instantly. So we could compare apples to apples. Once we figured out the head that we wanted, mm-hmm. we could just compare one shaft against the other. And he said the same thing. He goes, you are right between a stiff and a regular. He goes, I'm gonna let you hit both. We're gonna look at the ball flight to see which one you like better, but it's gonna come down to what you're more comfortable with. He goes, just pick based on that. Pick mm-hmm. based on the comfort and what ball flight you prefer. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So trust your gut, you know?
Right.
All right. So that's everything we have. Again, you can get to the show notes of everything we talked about this week by going to golficity.com/episode97. And we'll be back again in 2 weeks. We're going to have our big New Year's resolution episode. So make sure you get those in. You got about a week and a half to get them in before we record the show. Let us know what your goals are for 2016. We're going to be talking about them. We're going to talk about ours. And then we're going to line up a lot of great guests, even more coming up in 2016. All right. So we'll see you again in a few weeks.